So thanks for joining me today. I know you're very busy with everything. I mean, you just released Shovel Knight recently, which is great, by the way.
Great.
I was hooked for several days and didn't get any work done. So how does it feel to be involved with such a universally acclaimed game?
It feels pretty good. I mean, it's like it's something that's totally new to us. We've done a bunch of games before, but never have gotten this much just like praise and just people like talking about it and critical acclaim. It's just been overwhelmingly positive on all fronts, and in a way, I'm not really sure how to deal with.
So I'm not really familiar with you guys' track record. What have you guys worked on before?
Well, we've done everything from, I worked on a Thor game, a Thor tie-in game. We worked on a Tasmanian Devil game, but we've also worked on like games like Double Dragon Neon and Blood Betrayal. Basically, we were all the way forward before this, and so they do a bunch of licensed titles as well as, their original IPs, and so we've done a big range of games, and we kind of, as a team, kind of coalesced together in the last few titles that we worked on, which were Blood Rain and Double Dragon Neon. And as a result of working on that team, and we grew to enjoy each other's company and enjoy working with each other, we decided to start our own company.
Cool. So when you launched the Kickstarter, did you expect it to actually meet the goal? Or
We thought we would, but we were scared.
Yeah, I imagine.
And then we were also just like, I don't know, we were going into it kind of blind. We didn't really know what to expect all around. So, yeah, the Kickstarter, we asked for 75, got 300, and the entire time we were just surprised at every step along the way.
So, is there anything you would have changed about the final product when you released it? Or
Oh,
is Shovel Knight pretty much, or is Shovel Knight pretty much like exactly how you guys wanted it or envisioned it to begin with?
So I think with the $300,000 that we got from Kickstarter, sorry, I mean, Shovel Knight became what we had hoped it could be, and that if we had made this money, it would have been maybe a more stripped down, focused game, but we would have. If we made so much less money, we probably would have looked for outside funding, which would have changed the way the game looked in the end. I don't know. It's hard to say, but yeah, with the state of the game now, we're pretty happy with it.
Awesome. So I reached out to a couple communities that I'm a part of on Facebook and on social media, and I asked people what they would want to ask you, since I couldn't think of like a whole bunch of questions.
Great.
Connor Bennett from Nintendo Voice Chat forums asked, and a bunch of people, this was the most requested question, and that was, when is it coming to Europe?
Soon. I mean, we're working right now. We posted a post on our blog, which is yachtclubgames.com, about the progress of all that. So there's a lot of external factors that we're working with. We're getting it translated and then implementing that and getting that all set to go. It's really soon. Like we're actively working as hard as we can on making that happen. But yeah, I can't. I don't want to give a specific date and miss it by like a few days. So once we have a set date, we'll let everybody know.
I figured you wouldn't be able to answer that one specifically, and I'm glad because I would rather you not set unreasonable dates. But anyway,
Right.
how long did it take to completely produce Shovel Knight? That was from Noah Todd.
Well, we started last year in January with the initial conception of the idea. And then 3 months later, we had the Kickstarter going. And then since then, up until launch, we've been working almost double time on it. So it's hard to say in terms of like just straight up man months, but in terms of just like real time, then about a year and a half.
And do you think, this is from Finn McLean, and he said, do you think you'll ever continue this series, and what new things could you add that could be brought to the table?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're still, we're still doing release, 1.0 release, which is getting the game to Europe and Australia and Japan and all over the world. And so, that's a big focus. We're also getting it on Mac and Linux. And then beyond that, we're going to get it to other platforms as well. We want to put Shovel Knight everywhere. We also have a bunch of stretch goal content because we were Kickstarter. We have the challenge mode, the gender swap, the playable boss knights, three of them actually play as Spectre Knight, King Knight, and Plague Knight. And there's also a four-player couch competitive multiplayer battle mode that's going to happen that's going to feature, all the bosses playable. So, like, there's still a lot to do for this game. And I see that
Is
taking about, maybe a year of work, maybe less.
so
And,
yeah, I'm not really like I don't know much about the battle mode, so what is that supposed to be comprised
We don't know much about it
of?
either. Is that we have this idea of doing a four player, like we want to have a multiplayer battle mode, and we want to feature all the bosses as playable, having their unique play styles. But we are talking everything of the range of Super Mario Brothers, or I guess just Mario Brothers, but way back in the day, and between that and Smash Brothers, like the most basic, the one with the power block and the pipes and the stuff. Like the most basic multiplayer in a 2D plane, and like extremely complex. So in between those, we'll be in there somewhere.
And did you guys consider adding co-op to the game, or that would that be like way too chaotic?
It keeps coming up, and I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a lot of evidence for, why that would be fun later in the game, and I think that would be really cool. We haven't talked about that specifically, and I think we're just going to focus on these stretch goals. But I could really see us doing something like that in the future after Shovel Knight is done, or maybe as a, I don't know, we'll see. I don't want to promise anything, but yeah, we really enjoy the results of, what's been going on.
Awesome. Garrett Bland asked, what was the idea behind the full-on dancing animations with some of the non-player characters?
Well, the dancing girl, that was always conceived of. Like when we were talking about NPCs, we knew we wanted to have a village of like interesting characters, things that you'd go back to and talk to. And yeah, the dancing girl was always like at the top of the list. It was just like an idea that we wanted to do. And so it was like, hey, what are our NPCs going to look like? Well, we'll have one guy that gets really excited when you dig. Maybe a guy that bounces something around that you have to keep up in the air, and that eventually became the Mona meme. And then the last one was like, okay, and also like you just talk to this girl and she just dances for 2 minutes and you have to watch it and you can't not look at it. So the watch me dance girl was there for a while. And yeah, we had, so that was like originally conceived. And then like the Chapel King when he dances and stuff, that was all just like that came about as we were talking about it. And it's really hard to one up the idea of having a character do a dance sequence. And so once it gets said, there's really like no stopping it.
So you mentioned the battle mode. Is that going to be like additional DLC, or is that going to be just patched into the game? What's the
Oh,
plan there?
right. Right. Yeah, all that extra stuff that I was mentioning is going to come as free updates. So I mean, it's technically content that you're downloading, but it's not like a paid-for thing. Shovel Knight is going to just keep growing as a game for the next year, and hopefully, like if Shovel Knight is not the price point you want right now, maybe because it'll be a bigger game later, like $15 will seem all the more enticing.
Yeah, I think it's worth it now, but that's just me. And will future games in the series be 8-bit inspired or 16-bit or beyond? That's from Stephen McNeil. Is
Yeah, I mean,
going beyond 8-bit something you guys are looking at?
possibly we'd like to do anything. I mean, we've joked about doing like a Super Shovel Knight or like a Shovel Knight 64, just an idea of like taking it to generations. But I mean, more than anything, we enjoy making games, and no matter what form they come in, we would enjoy doing it. A 3D platformer sounds like a lot of fun to us, and I think that would be a really cool way to take Shovel Knight on his next journey, but you know, we could also just very easily do another 8-bit. Doing a 16-bit would be a lot of work and might require more than we can handle at this point. But I mean, the team can evolve and change as the project needs it, but we try to make sure that any project that we handle is done at the capabilities of what the team can handle. So yeah, if we're all really excited about doing a 3D Shovel Knight, we'd have to like really figure out what our team is going to look like and what you know, who's going to be involved with that.
Great. So far, have you noticed the sales reflecting the positive review scores? Or
yeah, absolutely. We've had a lot of really, like, it's exceeded my expectations for what we would be doing, and I can't get into the specifics too much right now.
Yeah.
But it's been really positive, and I'm really thankful for all the really strong support that we've been getting throughout, you know, everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And Finn McLean comes back again and says, Shovel Knight takes a lot of inspiration from franchises such as Mega Man, Mario, and Castlevania, but which one do you think had the most influence?
That's hard to say. I mean, the games that we have the most, that have the most influence on us as players is really what it boils down to, because we, yeah, you know, we still play those games. We still get together every May and play Mega Man games. And, you know, we were calling it Mega May before Capcom tried to make it their own thing. You know, we were calling it Mega May for years, and we would do that and play all the Mega Man games. We also have been playing all kinds of those games since we were kids. I played DuckTales, you know.
Yeah, I thought it took a lot from DuckTales as well.
They're all in there, you know. It all comes from the cloud of, like, the NES era. And so when we were coming into specific solutions that we would find, it would be like, hey, let's do this, or let's try this out, and you know, what other examples of games have done this really well? And so we would, you know, kind of do a gut check against what we thought, against what has been done already. And sometimes we would vary it a little bit, and sometimes we would, you know, see that we arrived at the same conclusions. But we never, like, said, hey, like, we're going to make a game that's just DuckTales, let's just do DuckTales, because, I mean, that wouldn't be. Like, we're trying to make sure that the game that we make was NES feeling, but was put under the lens of, you know, modern design. And so that's sort of how we approached it, is not necessarily looking to specific games, but just kind of having all games in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds weird, but that's sort of how we approach this.
So where did it come from? Where did the idea of using a knight with a shovel come from? Where did that derive from?
So yeah, I mean, it started as a conversation about the down thrust in Zelda 2, and if we could make a whole game about that. I mean, that was the idea, was could Zelda 2 become, it's like that down thrust become its own thing? And from there, we went from, you know, if you're digging through blocks, if you're stabbing on enemies, maybe you're flipping them over, that's like the actions that you're going to be doing. That doesn't really fit with a sword, and so we were like, what else could it be? I mean, a poker stick doesn't work. That's too much like a cane, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea of a shovel came up, because that's like, you're digging down and then you're flipping up, and that's what a shovel does. So like the idea of a shovel came up, and from there, you know, we talked about who would wield a shovel. A robot wouldn't wield a shovel. That'd be too weird and too much like Mega Man. It'd be boring as a person just by itself. And so we like eventually arrived at a knight. And from there, it was Shovel Knight. And then the idea of, like, oh, maybe he could fight a whole cadre of enemies that are also knights that are themed towards their own specific personalities. And then it just exploded into a conversation that got really fun. This all happened over lunch. just like a, you know, a fun lunchtime conversation.
That's awesome. And a lot of people from who are, I guess, well-versed in NES era platformers were complaining about the checkpoint system. So you implemented that, I'm assuming, to make the game more accessible towards like a broader audience.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean the checkpoint system is a way for anybody to play it, but also anybody to kind of like master the game, because you can break all those checkpoints.
Yeah.
You know, you can choose to...
Oh, yeah, I did that once. Oh, I was so angry. Because I'm so terrible at video games. I love them, but I'm so bad. And I'm thankful that you included them.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're a good source of money for the expert pro player, and they're also, like, a good safety net for those that can't handle that level of gameplay. And
Yeah.
so letting the player dictate the difficulty was really something that was interesting to us, and it allows the player to take higher risk and reap a higher reward if they want to. And it also is not a constant level of tension. When you do break it, you get that like sense of this area is scary only because of the actions that I took. And that was really exciting to us as well.
And so Finn comes back again and said, do you think Shovel Knight should be in Super Smash Brothers?
Oh, yeah. more than anywhere else.
Nintendo hasn't approached you about that, have they?
No. I would love to talk about that.
That'd be so great. But, let's see. I don't know. Okay, here's a weird one. Jared Leeworthy asked, if you could be any kind of tree, what kind of tree would you be and why?
I don't know. What are those big ones that last forever? No, that's lame. I don't know. Maybe a bonsai tree. That'd be fun.
Okay. And let's see. Are you a Shovel Knight in your free time?
No, I don't wield a shovel and bounce.
I'm not filtering out the weird ones. There's a lot of them. I should be, but I'm not. Let's see.
I wish I was a Shovel Knight, because then I could bounce everywhere and hit things with shovels, and nobody would be too sad at me.
And Kyle Newman asked, will we be getting a sequel in the next year? If not, then when? What direction is the next game heading?
Yeah, like I said, we're still working on the stretch goal content, so we're not even thinking about the specifics of our next game. Next games come up as like jokes, and we talk about them, but like they could be anything at this point. They could be pinball, like they could be like a kart racer, like they could be anything. So
yeah.
We're not even thinking about specifically where our next company direction is going to go. Just because there's a lot to think about for the stretch goals.
Okay, here's a good one. Thomas Binghai asked him about Crossbuy for the 3DS and Wii U. Squid's Odyssey, I know, was like the first Crossbuy 3DS Wii U game. Are you guys considering doing that, implementing that as well?
It's come up with Nintendo before, and we try to make sure that any game that we put on the 3DS or the Wii U has specific features for that system, and
yeah.
So it's important to us that they feel like their own unique thing, and so I'm not even sure if it's set up in the Nintendo shop like that right now, but
yeah,
we try to make sure that anytime you're on the 3DS, like a lot of work was put into the stereoscopic looking the 3D on the 3DS, and a lot of work was put into the Street Pass. And so to get it on that system, it's sort of a different experience than getting it on the Wii U, which has the Miiverse, and all that. So I would say we're not considering it in terms of just like it's not available, but also like we want to make sure that those systems are actually unique and there's new experiences to be had on either. So in terms of like a discount down the line, I'm not sure. Like it's all up in the air, but at this point, we're not really considering it too heavily.
Okay, I played on Wii U. Does the 3DS version also have Miiverse support? I know Miiverse was added to 3DS kind of recently.
Yeah, it was very recently. Miiverse was added right as we were talking about finishing the game. Like it was like way too late to be added to the 3DS.
Yeah.
And also, it was just a like that's a cool surprise. But you're probably not going to see Miiverse in 3DS games for. As far as the mainstream games for a while, just because like yeah, it's new and people are still getting used to that idea. So any projects that have been happening probably won't have it, and then maybe not have the best implementation of it for a while. I don't know. I'm not sure. Hopefully, it'll be cool, but not in Shovel Knight 3DS.
Okay. And what was your favorite game growing up as a kid?
My favorite game.
Yeah.
I played Mario 3 a whole lot.
Okay.
I also played. On my Genesis, a lot. I played Sonic 1 and Revenge of Shinobi, and played a lot of that. I also enjoyed Link to the Past and Link's Awakening a lot. I don't know. I played a lot of games, so it's hard to nail down to just one.
Yeah. And Stephen Bruton asked, when can we expect to see it on other platforms?
So yeah, once we have like initial release done, so we have it in Europe and all over the world, and we also have it on Mac and Linux, we're going to be putting it to as many platforms as it makes sense. So that said, we're like thinking about which platforms it makes sense in terms of just having people there. You know, we want to have hit those first, and then also like if the game can't run 60 on a certain platform, then we won't consider it. It's really important that the game runs really well on whatever system it's on. And
Yeah.
that see it, and it's, you know, it's an at-home experience. You're not getting the dumbed down version, no matter where you play it. So,
Okay.
yeah, and I would love to see it on all those platforms. And make sure it, and I would love to make sure it takes advantage of those platforms' unique features, wherever we take it.
Cool. One thing I always hear is that this game would not actually be possible on an NES. And what really changes that? What is added to this game that makes it? Is it the colors that would not make it possible on past hardware?
I mean, it's sort of everything. There's a few colors that we added that were outside the palette. I mean, for the most part, it is using the NES palette, and
Okay.
that's why it kind of feels NES-y. But it's like it's widescreen, first of all. I mean,
Yeah.
it doesn't care about color limitations per screen. So on the NES, you had to have a maximum of 16 colors per screen, and we kind of reduced it and have it, you know, had to be less than what we normally would allow, like, you know, millions of colors or whatever. But we didn't say, you know, it has to be 16, and anything over that is bad. So like we didn't limit ourselves there. Sprites can only be four colors, and one of those has to be the negative transparency color. And
Okay.
so characters like Mega Man gets away with it because they have two sprites on top of each other, but we kind of just went with the idea of having a five color character palette. So like there's a lot of things that are just stretched a little bit too far, and you know, we don't care about sprite flickering and having too many sprites on the screen. That said, we like limited it to make it feel like an NES game. Yeah, it's a game that's supposed to feel like a rose-tinted view of what the NES was without actually being shackled to the system's limitations that were existing back then. So yeah, maybe a facsimile of it could run on the NES, but nothing like the final game by
Okay.
my estimation. But maybe somebody's out there who's really good at making NES games and could make a Several Night NES that runs on the cart. The music runs, actually. The music was written in Famitracker, Tracker, and that's like the most authentic part of the game.
Okay.
Famitracker Tracker is a program that makes NSFs. It's a Nintendo sound format file,
Okay.
and you can actually burn the soundtrack to a NES card if the NES card was big enough. And we met a guy in Florida actually who did this. He, when we were at SuperCon last month, he had burned the he taken the Famitracker files that we included with the soundtrack on Bandcamp, and he had burned them to a 72-pin cart. He had an emulated VRC6 chip, and had the whole soundtrack running in three parts on his real Famicom, and it was
Wow,
awesome. It
that is
sounded the
awesome.
same. It was so cool.
James Rutter, he doesn't have a question, but he had a comment, and he said, aside from what everyone else has already stated, just tell him I love his amazing game for me. It is by far my favorite indie game to date.
Oh wow! Yeah, thanks, James. Whole team worked really hard on it, so I'm really glad that yeah, you enjoy that.
Let's see. How much Pat Gallagher asked, how much more work was Shovel Knight than you thought? So he's assuming that it was harder than you thought it was before
Yeah.
you began development.
Well, I guess that's safe to assume because we had set our original date to March 31st and then blew past that. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, there was more work in just in terms of iterating. You know, when you make a game, it's not just a formula that you fill out, and then once the formula is completed, you have a game. You create a level and then, or an enemy or a boss or whatever, and then it doesn't work, and then you wait for, you know, the feedback to come back, and then you kind of do it again, and you keep working at it until it works. Back in March 31st, if you had played the game, it would have been just a horrible, horrible mess. But through just like reworking and sometimes tearing down entire levels and like starting from scratch, that's the extreme. Usually it's just like, tweaking what's there. We were able to get Shovel Knight where it's at. And yeah, I mean, it's not that you can't anticipate that. It's just that you don't know when the iteration is done. And so, yeah, it's really hard to. That's, I mean, that's why games take so long all the time, and like why they're always going past their release date, is because it just takes time, and time just means figuring out your own little puzzle that you're making yourself. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say that any one thing was the thing that brought us down. It was more just like, everything needs to happen all at once, and so you just kind of work at it until it's done.
So I forgot what it was called, but in the game there was a the mini game where you try to collect the gold. Where did that come from? Was that inspired from somewhere else? Because I wasn't really familiar with it, but I played it for like 2 hours one day.
What high score? What high score did you get to at that
Oh,
point?
I don't remember. I really don't. But I just kept playing it because that's like my only source of gold in that game. That's my main source. I just kept collecting gold so I could upgrade stuff and get through these levels that I was struggling with because I'm bad.
Yeah, that started as an idea of just like a really like it was jotted on paper as just like it's a guy who throws a barrel into the air and you have to keep it up in the air. And that's like how it started. And that was part of the discussion of like creating our NPCs. Eventually we added, we changed it a little bit and it became a little bit more complex. And then we took out the weird floor, elevation changes that were happening. And we took out this and we added this. And, and the game kind of evolved over time. And at one point it was this weird thing where you're bouncing one bottle around a room and it was hitting the walls and bouncing on the floor. But like one area of the floor was bad. And so you had to like keep it away from that one area. And then it became like, then there was like more bottles and then shooting magic stuff in it. And then like, it eventually became this like huge carnival thing that it is now. Like throughout the whole process, we were just like not satisfied with it and not really digging where it was going. And,
Ah, see what you did there.
I gotta figure out new words because I used to say that just normally, and now anytime I say that, it's like, oh yeah, trouble. I need new vocab. Yeah. Anyway, so it just sort of evolved with time, just like everything else. It iterated into what it is now. That was one of the more like heavily iterated features of the game, just because that started as something very, very simple and ended with like its own song and like its own score and this a whole bunch of tie-in stuff. And so yeah, I think the highest score you can get is in the low 300s, and it's really like I haven't seen anyone get outside the dev team. I haven't seen anyone get that, but I'd love to see scores at like 320 or something. Like I think that's as high as you can get. I'm not sure though. It's really hard.
I don't think I got much higher than 150, so I was doing really poorly. But I'll get there eventually if I spend more hours on that alone. But let's see. What about the music notes? So where did that come from? We're collecting all the music notes. That's really fun.
That actually started as a stretch goal. Our stretch goals that we had were that were included into the game were achievements, New Game Plus, and the sound player. And so the original idea is that you kind of like have a sound player that plays all the songs, but as we were talking about it, it seemed kind of limited just to have a menu, and that seemed lame. So we decided to like have that be a collectible item. And as a result of that, we have an NPC that's created that sort of collects those song scrolls. Yeah, anybody who's listening or reading to this doesn't know, the song scrolls are a track of the game's music that you can find in the game. You bring it back to the bard, and you can actually find the whole soundtrack that way. And they all are unique songs, and they all have their own little like quips about them. So Jake Kaufman, the guy that wrote the music, actually helped. He did a lot more than just the music. He also help with the script and, just general, hanging out with us and talking about things. And he helped with figuring out what the, like, he wrote all those little things for what the songs are. So if you go over to a song and press start or plus or something, he has a little quip that he says about that specific song.
Okay.
And each one is really interesting, and sometimes they're
Yeah.
really cool, and sometimes they're silly. And yeah, it kind of exploded out of the idea of having a sound player in the game.
Cool. What do you think would be the most, what's the most stressful boss in the game to you?
The stressful, most stressful boss.
Yeah.
I think either Polar Knight because of the spikes, or the Phantom Striker actually, because the Phantom Striker, if you can beat him, it's not hard. But if you beat him with more than half of your health, he gives you a much better reward. And so I'm always thinking about like how much damage I take against that guy,
Yeah.
and I'll bring in a potion or something just to restore my health if I need it, and if I need it, but that seems kind of cheap. So that one's, and you only have one shot of that guy. So I like that like level of tension. But also the spikes in Polar Knight Sage are really just, they're absurd, and you have to like really manage where you how to handle that, because if you mess up, you're dead.
Well, I didn't grow up on NES games. I'm younger. I'm only 18. But when when I played the game, the one I struggled the most with was actually I guess it was the first one. It was Spectre Knight. And after I figured it out, it wasn't that hard after that. For the other bosses weren't, because I figured out that I could actually upgrade my health. I had no idea. I was just kind of ignoring all of the dialogue, and then I was like, wait, if I actually pay attention, maybe I can do this. And so I was depressed all day, and then I realized that I could upgrade my health, and I was like, oh, awesome, and I beat him in one try.
Awesome.
But that was my most stressful boss.
I think he's cool because he's actually pretty patterned. Like you can kind of see what he's about to do and predict it, and he has some pretty clear tells. He's always does one of three throws, a set of two. Like he does the big throw that goes all the way around the room, and then followed by the throw that goes down below, and that's like one set. And then another one is just like a V that goes into the one corner of the room, and then into the other, and that's another set. And so like you can see that he has a very set of a pattern of throws, but he's just moving around a lot, and he just, if you don't know how to jump and attack, then you're kind of like you can't do that battle. But I think he's cool because he teaches you how to like pay attention and
Oh
try.
yeah, definitely. Especially when it goes dark. Yeah.
Then you really got to like remember everything that you've learned up until that point.
Yeah.
Listen for that shing that happens when he right before he does that big attack.
Well, I think I'm all out of questions, so thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Gabe.
Yep, no problem. I'd like to have somebody on again sometime. Yep. So thanks.
Well, and if you want to link to anything of ours, you can go to
Oh, of course.
yachtclubgames.com. If you go to yachtclubgames.com, that's our main website, and we post blog posts there that talk about game design and talk about our mentalities. We're making Shovel Knight. We just posted a thing about the dance, which is pretty cool. The one button pressing down on the D-pad makes Shovel Knight do a little dance. Like very very it just makes him crouch a little bit, but you can dance along with the music or with whoever.
Okay,
So
one last thing I had to ask you that I forgot about was the butts. What was that?
mode, right?
Butt mode, that's what it was. I remember seeing something on that, but I never activated it. I was totally into it though. Where did that come from?
So yeah, if you type in your name, X ampersand BUTT, it changes the game to butt mode, and what that means is it replaces the words shovel and knight and health and magic to the words butt. And that sounds silly, and that's because it is. It was started as an idea of our last Kickstarter day. We had a 24-hour live stream, and after being awake for 20 hours and we hit our final stretch goal and we were still going up. People were asking like, what's the next stretch goal? What's the, and there's like 4 hours left. So we're like not thinking about what a real stretch goal would be. Somebody said butt mode and said that would be our $350,000 stretch goal. And it was this, like this joke that was silly and funny. And we kept saying it throughout the rest of the stream. And then it keep coming up throughout the rest of the Kickstarter. And then one day, David, the guy that does programming, actually, you were probably talking to David. He said, "Hey, butt mode is in," and we were like, "What?" And so we typed it in, and it was really too much fun for the silliness that it was.
So I've got to admit something that is probably really bad, but I thought I was talking to David right now.
That's fine.
Okay, so who am I speaking with now?
Nick Wozniak, most
Okay.
call me Woz, and I do and stuff, so
Are you related to Steve?
I wish. If we had been, maybe we wouldn't have had to do this big Kickstarter thing, but
Well, yep, thank you. Thank you for joining us, and yeah, follow Yacht Club Games on Twitter and all that jazz.
At Yacht Club Games, YACHT, CLUBGAMES.
Great. Yep, thanks.